Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our 10:30 worship service this morning. And I just wanted to share, as I walked out to the mailbox this morning to get our mail from yesterday, I couldn't help but stop and just the smell of fall was in the air this morning, especially with everything a little on the damp side, and just the beauty around us. And it caused me to actually say a little prayer on the way down the driveway. And here's my challenge for you this week. I challenge you to go out and just take in the smells and the sights of fall this week. And just say a little prayer to God while you're out there enjoying the beautiful fall weather outside, the fall sights and sounds and smells. A couple announcements this morning. Pastor Matt is back at Camp Swatara this weekend with the Junior High Conference, and he's there this morning as well. And a couple of the announcements in your bulletin, I just want to highlight a few. November 7th is the annual holiday bazaar here at church. The women are still looking for some donations of crafts and other things, baked goods. There's a holiday brunch for the ladies. This is not just for Women's Fellowship ladies, this is for all ladies in the church. Saturday, November 21st at 9 a.m. at the Country Fair, there's a sign-up sheet in the Narthex, so sign up for that, all ladies, please. This coming Saturday is Faithful Men Dinner Concert, and I have tickets in my pocket if anybody's interested in coming to our dinner. Bud has tickets, Pam has tickets, I think Richard still has tickets, so we have plenty of tickets available yet. We'd enjoy having you out to our concert. Also this coming Saturday is Men's Fellowship Breakfast at Dutchway Restaurant from 7 to 9 a.m. All men come out, we have a good time, we do a little worship and to the Lord and enjoy a good breakfast and fellowship. And speaking of fellowship with one another, if you're 60 years or older and you're willing to admit it and celebrate that, immediately following our service today, there is a dinner for you or a luncheon for you downstairs. I just stopped in the kitchen. They are busy making you a scrumptious meal. And please stay afterwards for that meal. And I understand there's some entertainment you'll be enjoying after your meal. I think that's all I have to highlight this morning. Anybody have any other announcements they'd like to highlight? Okay, I'm not hearing any. Let's stand, greet one another, and remain standing for our opening hymn. As we turn our hearts and minds to our morning prayer, I'd just like to have you look down through the prayer concerns inside your bulletin, those who are listed there, and just keep those in your prayer this coming week. And I'm going to open the microphone. Rich, you want to take the microphone around and see if anybody has anything they'd like to share this morning, either joys or concerns?
I like prayer for my uncle, Bobby Luckenbill. He lost his wife this week, so I'd like prayer for him and his family.
Are there others?
We had mentioned a couple of weeks ago about my brother Leonard. There was improvement. It's an up and down roller coaster at this time. His leukemia effects have returned, and it's not a good situation at this time. So please keep him in your prayers as we continue in this process. Thank you.
Are there others? Okay, Marlene just shared that John Hoover was taken to the hospital yesterday by ambulance, and we don't have any further details on that at this time. So keep John in our prayers, add him to our list there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, you are just an awesome God. It's such a privilege to just be here and to be able to bow our heads and to talk to you. We just thank you that we can have this honor. Lord, it's just awesome this time of year when we can enjoy the sights and smells and of fall in the air, and as we turn our hearts towards a time of thanksgiving for a bountiful harvest or of just our families and our friends, we just thank you and praise you. Lord, we know there are many things on our minds this morning, and we just pray that you might comfort us, that you might give us this time to just seek your word, to seek your understanding, and just to receive your blessing. Lord, we pray that you be with those who are listed in our prayer concerns this morning. We have such a list that sometimes it troubles our hearts to see a long list, but we know that each and every one of these persons needs your prayer, either for healing, for physical healing or mental healing, maybe just for companionship. We just want to lift up those announced this morning for the Luckenbill family on the loss of a wife. And for we just continue to ask that you touch Leonard and heal his body, give him the strength he needs for healing. And Lord, we pray that you be with Pastor Matt as he's leading junior high in a retreat this weekend, that lives might be touched by you. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for what he means to each one of us, for what he did for us, for his death and his resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And we just pray that we might be able to deliver the message of Jesus to those who need to hear it, that we might be able to go out into our community and to touch lives just the way we've been called to do, that you might be able to use us as an instrument of communication to spread your word to those who need to hear it, Lord. And Lord, we just give thanks. Thanks for this church, thanks for this community, and thanks for family and friends and the lives you give us. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
beat so fast. If you want to be first, you must be last. It's upside down and hard to do, but you should put others first before you. If you want to be great, if you want to be tall, you must be a servant to all. If you want to be great, if you want to be tall, you must be a servant to all.
Good job. Sit down.
Hey, Lucas. Have a seat, buddy. Good morning. You guys don't know me. No, I'm not scary, I promise. My name is John. Hi. That's all I get? Hi. Yeah, okay, good. They're very nervous. All right. Hey, I have a question. Do you like candy?
Yes.
Now, before you answer, you do? You got to it. You beat me to it. You like candy? What's your favorite kind of candy? Jolly Ranchers. Oh, those hurt my jaw. Twix? Twix? Did I hear Twix? Yeah. Do you eat the Twix whole, or do you like chew the caramel off the top? Yeah, you chew the caramel. Of course you do. Duh. What do you like? Snickers. That was my favorite. Do you stick them in the freezer, or do you like them more, like just off the shelf? Do you ever stick them in the freezer? Try that this time. Why would I ask you about what do you like? Chocolate with white things in it? Milky Way. Oh, Milky Way. Yeah, I like those too. Yeah, awesome. Well, why would I ask you about candy? Are you guys looking forward to some candy? No. All right, children's story's over. You guys are looking forward to candy this week? I like this time of year. Well, you know, did you look outside today? What did you notice different? Did you notice something different? It's fall. Yeah, the leaves are changing. And to me, that always reminds me of candy. Because we have candy next week, and then a month later we have Thanksgiving, we have pie and all kinds of other goodies, and then Christmas comes. My goodness, it's like a month of cookies. It's fantastic. You guys like that? I like to eat. And the best part about eating is that in this time of year is you'd like to do it together. You know? You get together a lot with your families and friends maybe. You have special events at school sometimes, and you get candy in bags, and you get candy all over the place, right? It's good times. Let me ask you, what do you like most about getting together with the people in your life? What do you most like most about getting together with family and friends? Yeah. You can share what's going on in your life? Yeah, that's really neat. Yeah, what else? You get to play games with them? It's neat. Yeah, what else? What else? It's sometimes just neat to know that there's a place that's safe, isn't it? That there's a place where you can belong and people love you. That's a really cool thing, isn't it? That's a really cool thing that we have. And I want to remind you today that people love you. And I want to remind you of something really special. So today we're talking about God's command to all of Christians to love one another. Now, sometimes that's really hard. Do any of you have siblings? Is it sometimes hard to love your siblings? Yes. Very hard. Are you sitting next to your siblings at all right now? Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to have siblings sometimes, isn't it? But what do you know? You know that you'll love them anyway, right? Right? You'll love them anyway. Even when you fight, you'll love them anyway. Well, I want to tell you something really special. You know what the Bible tells us about the church? The church is a place where we're supposed to love one another anyway. Even when things don't go real well, we're still supposed to love each other. So I want you to do something. I want you to look out there. Are those people smiling at you? Now are they smiling at you? Now more of them? Now are they all smiling at you? You better be smiling at them. Are they smiling at you now? See those smiling faces? Not all of them. When you get done here, I want you to go pick out the one, and I want you to give them a big smile. But all those smiling faces, they are here because they love Jesus. And because they love Jesus, guess what? They're told they have to love you. And I bet everyone out there works really hard to love you. And I want to encourage you that this is a place, the church is a place, we're called to love one another. And just like eating candy together, or talking over Thanksgiving dinner, or having food at Christmas time, and we have our families together and we know we're loved, that's what the church is. It's called to be a place where you know that you are loved. And then, what's even better, is you get to love others too. So I want you to look at those smiley faces one more time, and I want you to remember that they love you, and it's your job to love them. And we do that as best as we can, okay? Can we pray and ask God for help? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the chance to be in this church. And Lord, we thank you for these people that love us. Lord, we thank you that you first demonstrated what love looks like. And Lord, we just pray that it's difficult sometimes, but Lord, we know that in the end, you have called us to love, and so we do. We continue to love. We continue to see your beauty in our brothers and sisters here at church. And I thank you for this place where we can do that. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
For an offertory thought this morning, I'd like to share from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18, and this should sound familiar to you. Be joyful always, that's verse 16. Pray continually, that's verse 17. And verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So be joyful always and pray continually. Is that what we do as Christians? Hopefully. And give thanks in all circumstances. And this morning as we take our offering, maybe it's not the best of circumstances for you, but we are told to give thanks anyways, for it's God's will for us through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we want to offer up these gifts this morning to you, and no matter what the circumstance, we want to offer to you joyfully, and we want to pray continually that you might take this offering and use it to the work of the church. And whatever our circumstances, Lord, we want to give thanks through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. For our scripture reading this morning, I'm going to share Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I'd like to invite John Brenneman up to give us the message this morning. I asked John, I said, I don't see a bio in the bulletin of him, and I asked if I should say a little something about it. He said he assured me he was going to do that in his message to us this morning. John?
Truth is, I'm not that interesting. Oh, it is good to be here with you. You can laugh. It's okay. I give you permission. So a couple warnings before I begin. This first service found this out about me. One is I like to roam. Two is I have ADD. So if I get off track, someone just wave at me and tell me to come back. And three, I like to preach a long, long time. My first sermon, I think, was an hour and 45 minutes, and I put more preparation into this one than I did that one, so prepare yourself. I kid. It is really good to be together this morning. Let me start, if you don't mind, with a word of prayer, centering for myself, and then we'll start in what God has for us today. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity, and Lord, I ask for your Spirit to move during this time as we explore your Word. Lord, all things that are of you, may they sink deeply into our hearts. May they transform us and renew us. All things that are not of you this morning, Lord, I pray that are quickly forgotten. And Lord, may your grace and mercy find us wherever we go from this place. In your name we pray. Amen. So as promised, a few things about myself. I might roam down here, but I want to be able to see all those little heads back in the back. I call this the church stadium format, where this place is completely empty. So I might enter into it now and again, just so I can get closer to you, but I want to be able to see your eyes back there, so I'll try to keep eye contact as we go along. A couple things about myself. My name is Jonathan Brenneman. I was pastor at the Mount Wilson congregation in Annville, just south of Annville, for 7 years. We recently stopped that so I could return to engineering at the birth of our third child so that my wife could spend some more time at home with our kiddos. We have three children. The oldest one is Christopher, is here, and Nathan is back in the play area, and of course Emma, who is now 7 months old. And we enjoy that family greatly. I'm also a graduate of Evangelical, just as Matt is. And I'm on staff there. I teach a couple courses, and I'm also a director for the Anabaptist Studies Center there at Evangelical, the seminary there in Myerstown. So I have some connections there as well. As I said, I'm an engineer. I work making elevators, the ones that move people, not grain. I have to make the qualification in this area. For some reason, everyone gets confused. But anyway, it is good to be with you. And as I said, I have three children. When the third one came along, we were excited. You know, when you're about to have a child, there's a great deal of excitement. What could this child be? Then the child comes and you realize you're going to have to pay for college. And the great anxiety fell over me. And then I came across this scripture in Romans 13. And the scripture says, "Let no debt remain outstanding." So my wife, being an accountant, we immediately went, got our 529 plan, or whatever they call them these days, and began to save for our seven-month-old college education, because we know just the amount of debt that life brings about. And some of you know that debt. You see, I think my generation really stuck it to our parents, because we went along thinking college was going to be cheap, and then we all chose private colleges at pristine institutions and put all kinds of parent plus loans out, and our parents are still paying for them. And now, of course, it's something like $30,000 of debt a year is the estimate that they put on to college kids to educate. And I'm only imagining how many hundreds of thousands I'm going to need to send my seven-month-old to college. You see, debt's a big part of our existence. It's a big part of what we live into. Some of you may know it all too well. Some of you may have the debt of finances. I am a terrible money person. I like to spend. How many of you like to spend? Anybody like to spend money out there? By the way, I like participatory. I'm going to force you. So if you don't speak now, it's going to get worse for you. But great. Some of you like to spend. How many spenders out there? Let's be honest. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Yes, we like to spend. There's something very, I don't know. It just feels good, doesn't it? It feels good to spend money. Some of us love to spend money. People like me, we keep the economy going, and we keep the debtors in business. If it was up to me, I would have nothing, but I would have spent all my money. And I grew up in a world of debt. My parents had lots of debt. And I hated those monthly phone calls, the ones that said, "Hey, you still owe us money." We'd have to find ways around it. I know that many of us here today, based on some decisions of our own, perhaps, or some of us just based on what life has brought us. In fact, they say the number one thing that causes debt. What's the number one thing that causes debt? Bad health. Bankruptcy is the number one cause of debt in our culture. Many of us know the burden of that anxiety, the burden of not having enough to make ends meet. The burden of making a really bad life choice or suffering the consequences of someone else's really bad life choice. And so the debts weigh heavy on us. We avoid the phone calls. We try to stay hunkered down. When we're invited to dinner with friends, we try to find a good excuse. But alas, there isn't one. Some of us know the burden of that debt. Some of us know the burden of the debt of bad choices. Things we did when we were kids that we now suffer the consequences of. I also have a house. I love my house. When I'm not doing pastoral work or engineering work or teaching seminary, I like to redo my house, but unfortunately, I like to do all these other things too. We bought this house 12 years ago, turn of the century, beautiful brick house. It's a small one, but it's wonderful. It's ours. And I like to do all the work because I like to be that guy, right? I want to be that guy. And in doing all the work, I realize it takes a lot of time. 12 years later, we're still working on that house. Bless my wife, she doesn't have a kitchen. I think for the first 8 years of our marriage, we were using extension cords to give us light in the kitchen that we did have. I'm glad God is good, because sometimes I feel the debt of not being able to supply because of a not so wise decision earlier in my life. Some of us really know the debt of our unwise choices. Some of us know the debt of time. Some of us, it's because life has changed and now we have too much time on our hands. And we feel lonely. And we wonder, where were all those relationships? Why did we not make them when we could? With the debt of a lost loved one that used to be the one we connect to. Some of us know the debt of not having enough time between the 5 soccer practices a week and the 2 choir practices and the dance class and the extra tutoring that you need to send your kids to now to make sure they stay up to speed. Some of us just know what it is to be tired, have the debt of sleep. Trust me, I have a 7-month-old. God reminds me every night of the decisions I make, somewhere around 3 in the morning. We all know what it means to live under these debts. And if we're honest, these debts have this effect on us, don't they? Think about what life would be like without debt. Take a moment, close your eyes. Participatory, remember? Close your eyes, please. Think what life would be like without debt. I want you to open your eyes for a second. You see, here's what debt does to you, and does to me, and does to us, is it reminds us of everything that we're not. It reminds us of everything that we should be, or maybe should have been, or why so-and-so is so much better than me, because they don't have the same debts that I have. You see, debt reminds us of the extent from which we are where we want to be. It's the great gap of life, isn't it? If only I made enough to support my spending habit, it would all be okay. And I could wear the coolest clothes and drive the biggest cars. If only I had spent more time investing in friendships, I would have more friends around me. If only I would have spent less time or more time with my children, they would be all-stars on the Division I softball team. But alas, I didn't have enough time. If only I would have spent more time working on my house, my wife wouldn't have to give me a hard time every week. How disjointed our lives are. You see what I mean? I had a therapist one time. He's a good friend. I haven't seen him for a while, praise God. But I have a really good therapist friend, and he says, the big problem with you, John, is that you do a lot of shoulds. This is what I should be, but I'm not. How many of you feel depressed lots of time? I feel depressed lots of time. In fact, I take medication for depression. I just want to put that out there because, praise God, it has been amazing for me. It has kept me okay. But for so much, we put out what we should be. And we realize the deficit that it is. And we live our lives in anxiety over the shoulds. Now, that's a long introduction, but I want to bring you to the same place that I am. Because I think it is so important that we recognize the power of the church. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. The power of the church to break this destructive pattern that is in our world. Now, how many of you have Bibles with you this morning? Don't raise your hand. This is. If you have a Bible, open it up. If you like your Bible. If you don't, I understand there are pew Bibles. And I'm going to encourage you to open them because I like having a Bible in hand. If you don't and you have an iPad or a phone, praise God. Like, awesome. They're portable. I love it. But the book of Romans. So The last third of the Bible is the New Testament, right? And right, almost smack dab in the middle of the New Testament is a book called Romans. And a book of Romans, don't read chapters 1 through 8 because they're confusing. I say that as a pastor. Chapters 1 through 8 are marvelous books of the Bible, and they're beautiful, and they're keen. And one of the great orators of our last generation spent his whole life, 52 years, I think it was, of ministry, preaching Romans 1 to 8, but he never got to the good stuff. He died without getting to the good stuff. Let's start in chapter 13. I want to tell you something about Romans. The first 8 books of Romans are all the meat. They're the philosophy, the theory, the head knowledge. And it's so funny to me. In Romans chapter 9, Paul just sort of says, okay, it's time to go then. I speak the truth in Christ, therefore. I'm not lying. And then he goes on, and the rest of it he says, so go and live like this. Now that you know all the answers, go and live like this. This is where we come to Romans chapter 12, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. All these good, uplifting. So we're going to go to Romans 13. And all the brethren said, Romans 13. That one starts with how we're supposed to listen to the government and stuff. And then it comes down to Romans 13, chapter 8, the center of our conversation today. You see, so much of our life is consumed by the debts of the world, the what we're nots, the separations from what we believe we should be, or what others should be. But Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 1, let no debt remain outstanding. Let no debt remain outstanding. Remember I asked you to close your eyes and you thought about what that would look like? Praise the Lord, Paul says, let it be. I should have been a Southern Baptist minister, by the way, too. So if you feel the urge to do hallelujah, it's okay. In fact, I would encourage it. So it's okay, all right? So, particularly using the back. It's okay. Let it be, Paul says. Let there be no debt which controls you. Hallelujah! You don't believe me. You don't believe me. You see, we struggle. Paul says, let no debt remain. And you say, yeah, but I've got these huge debts. What do you mean, let nothing remain? Let no debt remain on you. Paul doesn't stop, does he? I love it. He just doesn't stop. This guy just keeps on talking. Except the continuing debt to love one another. Now, when we think about this, let's for a moment picture what debt, how I've characterized debt so far. Debt is this thing which keeps us separate from what we are supposed to be. It's this thing that tells us and reminds us what we're not, what we haven't yet fulfilled. How many of you watch TV? How many of you are lying? Sorry. How many of you have seen a billboard on the road? How many of you have been advertised in the last 2 days? Advertised to in the last 2 days? Yeah, we all, everywhere we go, and what are the advertisements telling you? Drink this, and that will work out. Take this, and you'll look like this, right? Eat McDonald's, and you'll be happy. And then you'll be tired, and then you'll be sick. They missed that last part. I don't understand it. You see, so much of our life has told us what we're not. And Paul is saying, forget all that. Live into the one debt that matters. The debt that lives in deference to the other. The debt that sees the other as more important than yourself. The debt that lifts up and builds up the debt of the love of Jesus Christ. Let that debt be the one that defines your life. Not the debt that tells you what you're not, but instead the debt that reminds you that God has allowed you to be the presence of love in this world, what you are. I'm waiting for an amen on that one. You see, so much of our lives, we are told what we should be. Well, even in churches, I mean, let's be honest, how many congregation meals, business meetings do we walk out of and say, wow, our church really isn't what it should be? Or if only that whatever-headed person over there would get with the program, we would be what we should be. And I guarantee that same person is saying to their own group out in the parking lot, if only that whatever-headed person would get with the program, we would be what we should be. So much of our emphasis, brothers and sisters, is on the debts of our lives, what we're not. And Paul says, no, it should not be for the church. For those who believe Romans 1 through 8. And Romans 1 through 8 tells us what? We are saved by grace. We are all not what we should be, but we are saved by grace. And Paul is basically saying, go and live like you're saved by grace. May the love, the debt of love, be that which defines you. And when you do this, he says, and this is finally my point one. See, I told you I like to preach. When you do this, you fulfill the law. And what is the law fulfilled in? Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19, that is a fun read. How many of you read Leviticus 19? Oh, it's a blast. How many of you have Rayon on today? Sinner, you know, it's great. I love it. And mixing woven cloth, by the way, is outlawed in Leviticus 19. I thought it was Leviticus 19. I was wrong. But elsewhere there, it says you can't eat a cheeseburger. How many of you like cheeseburgers? Praise the Lord. If I'm going to see Jesus, I'm going to see him with a cheeseburger in my hand. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. We can't eat cheeseburgers in the law. Now, why? Paul reminds us that the whole law, the Old Testament, the law is encompassed in this idea of loving your neighbor. There's this really cool law in the Old Testament that says we're to build a parapet around the roof of our house. Now, how many of you have a parapet around the roof of your house? How many of you know what a parapet is? It's not a blue bird. That's a parrot. A parapet is a fence. How many of you have a fence around the roof of your house? You say, why would you, God, what are you thinking, dude? Until you find out, and I was reminded by a good friend of mine, that you know what in the ancient Near East? Do you know where your guests stayed? If you don't have air conditioning, where's a good place to stay? On the roof, where the breeze blows. Now, if you put a guest up there and they aren't familiar with the surroundings, wouldn't it be great for them to have a fence there so they don't go tumbling off the top of your house in the middle of the night? Holy cow. It may just be that the laws of God are there for us to be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. Hallelujah. You see, the law of God is fulfilled in this very presence, this very gift, this very offering of the law. And when you live out the law, when you live out God's way, you love one another. And as you love one another, guess what? The debts of this world no longer control you. The desires of the world no longer control you. I'm getting ahead of myself. It says it later. It no longer controls you. It doesn't hold you fast any longer. Instead, you can live by the way of Christ. And we do this, this is verse 11, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up. I love this. Paul is saying, you know, 2,000 years ago, church, wake up and stop living by the consumerist society. And 2,000 years later, I'm telling you, I'm not nearly good as Paul, but let's be honest, I'm louder. Let's no longer live by the consumerist society and the debts which are told define us, but rather let's live in this very symbol of love. I'm getting up here. I want to... We'll get there. Maybe if I come back here and preach. That's a little. We got to live by the very presence of love. Because today, he goes on in verse 11, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now this is really neat. Get this. This is what Paul is saying. When you first believed, you began to understand that Jesus loved you. Right? And you began to try to love. And this is adapted from a guy named Bernard of Clairvaux. He was a mystic. And you figure out that loving works for you. So first you're loved, and you figure out that loving works for you. So you start loving back. And then when you start loving back, you start to realize that not only does loving work for you, and not only is it is it good transactionally, but wow, I really do love God because of what he is, what this new way of being. I can begin to love God and see that my debts, that I'm no longer defined by what I'm not, but rather I'm loved. And only when we begin to love God do we then open our eyes and begin to truly receive God's love for us. You see, Bernard would say that is the highest state of Christian living, is fully receiving that God loves you. He doesn't hate you because of your debts. Paul says, when you recognize the era that we live in that's trying to remind you you're not enough, so you have to pay to be enough, he's saying, stop and recognize what Paul says in Colossians 1, 21 and 22. He sees you without blemish and free from accusation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as he begins to see you, As you begin to receive that he sees you as that, we move on to verse 14. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to satisfy the desires of sinful nature. Not because you want to, but because those have no meaning to you anymore. The debts which we accrue, the things that bring us into that way of living, are no longer how we define ourselves, church. We define ourselves by how we love one another, by how we present love in this place, how we go and be the embodiment of love in our communities. Walter Brueggemann says we need a prophetic imagination to believe the world the way God sees it, and not the way Nike tells us it is. We have to begin to see the world the way God sees it and believe it can be the way God tells us it will be. Do you believe in Jesus? That's not a rhetorical question. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the world that Jesus paints? The world that Jesus paints is one where our only debt is the redeeming debt of love. Now let me be practical for just a moment, and then I'll let you off the hook. Some of you say, yeah, but I still got debts at home. I'm still struggling with all this stuff. Here is the great gift of God. The redemptive power of God's love has given you a community, has given you others, and has given you repentance and redemption. As we move and we recognize the debts in our lives and we feel the pull of being defined by them, this is where everyone else comes in. It is your job as brothers and sisters to remind one another, both through your substance, yeah, that means money, through your presence, that means care. Through your assistance, that means hands. All those vows you take when you're baptized, you remember those? It is your job to pick one another up out of the world of debt and present one another in the love of Christ. If you are struggling with debt today, this is the place where you come for help. Whether it's debt of relationships, whether it's debt of money, whether it's debt of community, whether it's debt of bad decisions, you are a body of love that reminds one another we are not defined by our deficits. Instead, we're defined by the greatest, enormous power of God's love. May little Swatara be defined by that love. I have concern for every other church in this community but little Swatara. Because I know that you know this. Let us live it. Let us be it. Let us remind one another and ourselves that we are made perfect through the love of Christ demonstrated in this body. Amen. It's been a joy to be with you today, and I pray God's blessing upon you. Go forth in the debt of love to one another and to this community, and may Christ bless you richly as you learn to live more fully in his love. Amen.